Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and we are beginning the six-day convention for the International Brotherhood of Magicians and Society of American Magicians combined convention here in St. Louis, Missouri. In this podcast, on day zero, which is kind of the kickoff for the long convention, we get to talk with a few people, beginning with Frank Seltzer and with Jeff Lanes. We get to hang out in a bar and just to chat a little bit, and I think it's kind of an interesting conversation about some upcoming things, plus some exciting stuff that the SAM has done in order to bring the art of magic into the forefront. You can hear more about that, plus see a picture of the resolution that was enacted by the Congress. That's going to be available over there on the MagicWordPodcast.com webpage. Next, we're going to have a little chat with Steve Bryant, who is the editor of the Little Egypt Gazette. And that is a blog at the LittleEgyptGazette.com, I believe it is. And he is going to talk a little bit about what he's been up to and his wonderful blog, which I think is an interesting journal. And then next we get to talk with the current president of the Society of American Magicians, Mr. Dal Sanders. And he also talks about the how he got to work with the Congress in order to get this citation, or certificate, I guess, actually enacted and run through Congress. Next we talk with Carl Hine, who talks about his experience on the Pete Holmes show recently on television, and how he got that gig and what it has meant to his career. Next, we talk with John Sterk from Fun Inc., and he talks a little bit about what's going on with his life and working at Fun Inc. and some other stuff at some conventions and what's going on up in Chicago right now. John Graybeal next talks with us, who is a member of the Friends of the Magic Word and is also a contributor and a listener, and talks about how that the Magic Word podcast has actually affected his life and that of his children, and how that he has gotten them more involved with contests as a result of listening to these podcasts. Quite flattering. And then finally, we get to talk with Oscar Munoz and Melody, his wife, and he is the chairman of the contest committee, and get to talk more specifically about the contests that are going to be taking place this week for the IBM, SAM, and for FISM North America. So we've got a lot to listen to, kind of jammed into this day zero as we kind of kick off the IBM and the SAM combined convention here in St. Louis. So from the MagicWordPodcast.com, this is Scotty out.
Meet me in St. Louis, Louis. Meet me at the fair. Don't tell me.
Good morning. This is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. We are here in, actually, in Mattoon, Illinois, which is in central Illinois, and visiting my wife's mother-in-law for a few days before we drive over to St. Louis, Missouri, which is just a few hours away from here. And we will begin the combined convention for the Society of American Magicians and the International Brotherhood of Magicians. Should be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to seeing and talking with a lot of old friends and meeting some new ones as well. This looks, sounds like it's going to be just, Stan Allen had said, there are 3 days of convention packed into 6 days. So we should have just a whole lot of stuff that we're going to be doing here at this convention. So it should be a heck of a lot of fun. And I hope that you will come along with me for the ride and enjoy the people we get to talk to while we go about the convention and on the exhibit floor and in the bars and every place else, wherever we go, restaurants and whatnot. So this should be kind of a fun journey. Don't know who we're going to see or what we're going to do, but that's part of the fun and the experience and the adventure of coming along on a convention like this. So should be great. And we will also, if you, during this convention, as we're posting daily updates, if you wish to for me to talk with someone who you know is going to be here or I should try to catch, make sure that you try to give me a email or drop me a line, somehow get in touch with me. You can contact me at themagicword@scottwells.com. Send me an email. Let me know who you'd like to hear on the podcast. Perhaps if you'd like me to take a picture of somebody or some event that I shouldn't miss. But I'd like to try to be able to make this a good experience for you, as if that you're going to be here at the convention and get to catch up with someone too. So I'd like to try to accommodate as many of your guest requests as possible. So thanks a lot for listening, and this should be some fun. So strap on your seatbelt and let's head to St. Louis. I'll meet you in St. Louis. Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and we are in Stanley Cigar in St. Louis, and I have checked into the hotel but have not officially registered yet because I kind of got pulled aside over into the nearby cigar bar because this place is not going to be open from the 1st through the 7th. And so tonight's the only night, and I'm here with good friends Frank Seltzer. Hey, Frank.
Hey, Scott. How are you doing?
Excellent, thank you. And someone who represents the SAM in a big way, Mr. Jeff Lanes. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Scott. Good to see you. Have a cigar. Bartender.
Take away. He's replacing a glass. And right there seems to be cracked glass. Yeah. There we go. Free beer.
Hey, well, you know, I don't want to drink.
You should have discovered that after the beer was finished.
I know, but it's...
So let me ask you about the convention. We're here that... have you attended the combined convention, the last one they had? It was in Nashville, is that right, Jeff?
The last combined was
Louisville.
It was more of a scratch than a crack.
Oh, okay. But it was on both sides, so I thought.
I believe it was in 2009, the combined in
Nashville.
Oh, I see. You got it right over there. Yeah, it says Nashville, 2009.
This was Nashville, 2009.
Yeah.
I don't know. Whenever it was.
Did you go to that one, Frank?
No, I didn't.
So, what did we see last time that we can expect to see this time?
Nothing we can talk about. Oh, the lineup's amazing, and this is quite unique in that it is the FISM qualifying event. Anybody that competes here and wins is officially qualified to attend FISM.
I think the FISM contest is what's going to be the most fun, I think, for all of them. Because you've got, you know, Christian Painter, Trig Watson's competing from Dallas.
Christian's going to be competing?
Christian's going to be
Trig
competing.
And Trig, too, wow. Yeah,
Michael Darnell's competing.
Yeah, Michael, he'll be.
Michael's competing, and you've got a lot of good stuff. I think that's going to be the best shows of what we've got for this convention is going to be the FISM stuff. Because of the people who are... Now, Christian's trying something different. He's trying to compete in mentalism. So
that's tough because you got, what, 12 minutes?
You were going to say that.
Yeah, I knew that. Exactly. But, yeah, he's got, like, 12 minutes, and... But if everybody can pull it off, I think you can.
Yeah. Well, you know, of course they have a mentalism award in IFISM, and so they recognize that. Not that they give you more time, I don't think.
No.
But they do put you in a mentalism category. Now, whether he would win the Grand Prix is another question, you know, because it has to, I guess, meet certain other standards or being able to entertain on all different levels. And, you know, we've had a close-up guy with Johnny East Palmer having won that. I mean, it doesn't have to be staged, so Christian could be the first one.
Could be. I mean,
and Catalina, don't forget.
Oh, yeah, Catalina, of course. The better half of the act.
That's right. What were you going to say, though, Jeff? You're registered, so you got that's over here, okay? Looks like a nice little program this year.
It is. Richard Kaufman.
Oh, Richard Kaufman did the program.
Yeah, doesn't he publish a book or a comic book or something?
Something, yeah. I'm not sure what it is.
I think it's a forum.
That might be.
Yeah. Yeah. An online forum.
A web page or something. A fan page, something like that.
Nice lineup of talent.
Well, quickly run through. Why don't you just read them right there so people know who's going to be coming.
Mike Cadney, Tina Leonard, Javier Mortimer. Okay. Well,
yep. Alex Ramon.
Sylvester, the Jester. If there was nobody else here at all, Stephen Bargatze is worth the price of admission in and of himself. Henry Evans, Sean Farquhar. Apparently, he's okay.
I mean, Farquhar do anything these days? I think he's just in the administration now.
Organization.
Yeah, I think so.
He did
something or another messing with Penn and Teller, and they said he did a deck switch. And that was all they were able to figure out. David Stone's coming in with a good friend of Scott and mine.
Yep,
Lindsay Olson will be his assistant.
We know that.
Danny DeOrtiz, Christian Engblom.
Angel Gaia.
Yeah.
Fat Brothers came in earlier.
Richard Turner, Casa, EK, Yuho Yin, One Gun, Ted Kim, and it just keeps going on, and we'll be done with the podcast before I get to this.
Yeah, with all these, some others. Yeah, as far as, it looks like Danny Orleans, David Kay.
Timo Mark, he's amazing.
I love Timo Mark, amazing stuff. It's going to be a good lineup of national and international talent that's over here. And it looks like we've got some tricks this month also. It looks like illustrated by Richard Kaufman, I guess.
And we're not going to say what they are. You need to be here and get the program to find out about them.
There you go. You need to get on over to St. Louis as soon as you can. They're still taking registrations. I think that they have...
They're looking for 1,400. I haven't heard. Have you?
There are a few less, and there's also some day passes available. So if you're in the general St. Louis vicinity, you can buy a day pass to come in. But I think they're just a few under, not by much, though.
Okay. And we still may even have room at the hotel. I'm not sure, but
there's other hotels
right around. There's Drury Inn and others that are right downtown here.
They're all really close within walking distance. And we're using the convention center and the other hotel or the other theater that's down the way.
Do you know how far the theater is? I mean, is it a walk or a bus ride?
There's buses that are going to take us to the... Take us to the main theater for the galas, and then the other stuff will be over here in the convention center, Center of the Americas, I think it is. There's a theater in there that's connected that we can just go to, or it's one block, half a block. But yeah, it'll be a great convention, and as I say, the FISM contests go on every day, and you're going to see some, I think that's going to be even more entertaning than the gala shows.
Because they're going to be having the IBM and the SAM contests as well, so
it's all three.
It's a lot of competition, that'll be squeezed into the 6 days.
Yeah, but if you look at the program, it's every day. It starts at like 11 o'clock, and it goes to like 4 every day of the contests. So there's a lot of stuff to see.
Mm-hmm. Now, you guys have already been to the dealers. Tell me something about the dealers' room.
They weren't open when I went by there. I came over here.
Okay.
Yeah, they were supposed to be open at 4, and they weren't, so I came over here, too.
Yeah, it's almost 5:30. So.
Which is the only way we're able to be here, enjoying a cigar, having a drink, because we still got money left because the dealers weren't open.
Yeah.
Exactly.
This might be a good place, Frank, for you to solicit some other people who might be cigar smokers.
Well, I think, there's a lot of magicians that we know, the three of us know, that do enjoy occasional cigars. And I think we're talking about Scott maybe starting a page on Facebook for cigar smokers who are magicians. And let us know who you are, because there's the TAOM coming up in August, actually Labor Day weekend in Fort Worth, and there's a cigar bar right down the street that we could go to. It would be nice to know how many people might actually like enjoying a cigar. So we could say that, go to the restaurant, say, hey, we're going to be here, stay open for us. And they would. And it's a fun way to sit there. And I mean, Di Vernon smokes cigars, Jack Shannon smokes cigars. How many guys smoke cigars? It's really good for you.
We've already got the mirrors. We just now add the smoke and just continue on with what we do best.
Absolutely.
But it's going to be scotch, beer, or my favorite, martinis.
That works too.
We'll do that on Thursday.
On Thursdays, that's right. That's right. Where will we be this Thursday?
We're back Thursdays or on Fridays.
Magic and Martini Thursday. All right. Well, I'm looking forward to it also, guys. So thank you very much. And we'll see. Hey, I see you also get a nice little bag with
yes,
the convention. Nice little carry briefcase.
Pin, too, if you see Bill.
Get a pin? No?
If you see Bill, he's got the pins. Dal's got stickers.
Okay.
The two presidents.
I saw Bill Wells, so he was he didn't...
No, we have Bill Evans.
Oh, Bill Evans. No, I've seen him yet. Okay. Excellent.
Evans was the guy in the suit. He and Dal were the two guys in the suit.
I guess they have to, since they're the current presidents, to be soon to be outgoing, going into Ice McDonnell and Sean Farquhar.
Right.
So, anyhow, for the Magic Word Podcast...
By the way,
you've got
to mention, this is the first convention we've ever had where we've actually had congressional recognition of magic as an art.
Really?
It's in the congressional record. Dal got that done this year, and it was a big
national?
Deal.
National?
Yes.
Yes. It was a whole thing recognizing magic as an art.
Well, you're from Dallas, so you know. So what's the
story? Well, I'm also his neighbor, so that helps. So I hear all of this stuff. But what happened was he was able, through another member of the Dallas Magic Club, who's a magician and an SAM member, was able to contact Pete Sessions, our congressman, and Pete put in the congressional record that magic is, in fact, an art. And he saluted the SAM and Dal Sanders being one of his constituents. But the main thing is it put it in there that magic is an art, because normally we're considered a hobby.
Yeah.
Or a craft at best. But we are the scientists of the theatrical world. That's what we do.
So now it's been designated
as an art. And it's not an act, but in the Congressional Record, which you will get a copy of in your bag. It's actually in there. Do you get the actual Congressional Record?
I'm going to have to post that on the website just so people can see a picture of that, too.
Yeah, it's in the black folder right there. And it's got a copy of the Congressional Record along with the information.
Wow, is that cool.
And what Pete said was he's going to work with Dow to try and get a merit badge for the Boy Scouts. He's going to try and work more to try and get us that recognition, because we're one of the few countries in the world that doesn't recognize magic as an art. I mean, remember Doug Henning, when he started, he got a grant from Canada to study magic as an art.
Right.
We go, it's a craft or it's a hobby. And it's like, no, we're an art. And this is the first actual, the SAM's been trying for years, and Dow finally got it through.
Wow. Well, he did a lot of things, I think, during his presidency, but this is certainly more than just a feather in his cap. This is really great.
Okay.
Okay, you want to read it?
This is from the House of Representatives, Proceedings and Debates of the 113th Congress, Second Session. The Honorable Pete Sessions, in the House of Representatives, Monday, 28 April 2014, in recognition of the art of magic. And this is the words of Representative Sessions. Mr. Speaker, I rise today on behalf of one of my constituents, Dal Sanders, National President of the Society of American Magicians, to recognize magic as an art. The art of magic has been around for centuries and is intended to entertain audiences with the staging of tricks and creating seemingly impossible illusions. Throughout its history, magic has given to show innovative and creative ways to delight and engage audiences worldwide. It takes a great deal of dedication and a strong work ethic to devote the practice time necessary to master this art. I would specifically like to take this opportunity to recognize the world's oldest magic organization, the Society of American Magicians, SAM. Since its founding in 1902, the SAM has attempted to elevate and advance the art of magic by promoting an environment for the magicians worldwide to come together and share their passion. The SAM members follow in the footsteps of renowned magicians Harry Houdini and Howard Thurston, who each served at one time as national president of the SAM, and Harry Blackstone Jr. and David Copperfield, who have both served as the SAM ambassadors. Mr. Speaker, I ask my esteemed colleagues to join me in recognizing the art of magic. Representative Pete Sessions, the U.S. House of Representatives, District 32.
Well, pretty significant. That's kind of cool, you know, because it has been debated about whether that it is an art, a craft, a hobby, a performing, performance art, whatever it is. And I know, like, whenever that we have contacted the local newspaper in Houston, the Houston Chronicle, to say, okay, we're going to be having a magic show, would you post this in your entertainment section? And they say, well, you know, we consider that to not really be a performing art. And so it's hard to try to get the newspaper to recognize this. But now that we have the Congress actually recognizing it, that's something we can send and say, well, it seems like that the government recognizes it. You know, why wouldn't you support the government? But anyhow.
And it's something Dal had been working on for a couple of years. He'd been trying to do this, and it's something that I helped him a little bit with, but he did all the heavy lifting, and Eric Hogue, who's a member, he's a mayor of Wiley, and he was able to pull the political connections to get this thing done. And now Pete's on board, and I think that's great. If we can get more people to do that, I think it'll help. The more we can get that done in Congress, the better we are, so that when we apply for, say, grants for an arts council, we can actually get that for magic. I mean, Canada recognizes it, the rest of the world. FISM, the perfect example is FISM. All of those guys get art grants from their countries. We don't.
Right.
And it's like, why? We should.
Yeah, if somebody wanted to go to college and study this, as Doug Henning did in Canada, or other people do in other countries, then you couldn't do that, because if you want to go and study drama or whatever, well, you're going to be going into acting school or drama school, but you're not studying magic. But if you wanted to go and study magic, perhaps this might be the beginning of that.
That's what we're hoping, yeah.
That's great. That's
one of the interesting things that happened as a side note today. A group of people on their own got together today and went over, performed free of charge at a nearby children's hospital, taking that art to kids that really, really need some hope, and did it just out of the goodness of their hearts. We're always looking for no recognition other than the smile of the kid.
That is one of the things typically that the IBM and the SAM at their conventions do before the convention begins, and it's not necessarily trying to generate publicity nor goodwill. It's just something done out of the goodness of people's hearts that they really want to offer and donate and give to the community who is sponsoring us, you know, for the convention. So,
well, we do that in Dallas. We've set up, I'm president of the Dallas Assembly and the Dallas Ring, and we've set up to formalize it, a committee that will do nothing but go out there and do an outreach to find out where is it that they need us to come in and do magic for the kids,
right,
to help feel better. We're going to look at Shriners Children's and Children's Hospital and stuff like that.
Very,
and I know in Houston you do the same
we
thing.
We do. Right? Every month.
All of the clubs do this, but we don't get publicity for it. We're not asking for it. We're just doing it for the kids.
And I think the other clubs, if you don't do that, that is something that you should look into doing, finding out how that you can contact your local hospitals and places, even if you're in small communities. I'm sure there are people who would enjoy having magicians to come and entertain and to brighten the days for adults and children.
You know, just what you think of the kid who may not be here soon, and the parents of that child, and the short amount of joy that they get when somebody comes and performs, and this kid, who may be very terminal, smiles, and mom and dad just melt.
Right.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah, that's true. All right, well, great. Well, again, thank you guys very much. We're going to cut it off over here and finish beers and cigars until the next time. Thank you, Frank. And thank you, Jeff. Until the next time, we'll talk to you guys a little bit later on the inside after I get registered, actually, and get my name badge and all the rest of this cool stuff. Go in the dealer's room. Talk to you later. This is Scotty out. Scott Wells for the Magic Word Podcast, and I've registered at the convention. I'm standing here with Steve Bryant. Hey there, Steve. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
And I just wanted to congratulate you on your wonderful Little Egypt Gazette. And you said that's really more of just a kind of your ramblings, your blog.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy if other people read it, but it's my way of recording what I've done and can go back and look over things and people and so forth.
It's more of a diary kind of a thing, huh?
Yeah, sure.
But it's also, you know, things that you like, which happens to be, you know, books and videos.
Oh, very much. Yeah, if I read a book and I like it, I review it. If I read a book and don't like it, I'm not going to waste time writing that.
Well, why? Sure, exactly.
So if I don't mention your book, Scott.
It's not that you didn't like it, it's just that you didn't like it. There are other things, you can get to it, that's
right.
It. Yeah, okay. And it actually is an outshoot of something else that you had before.
Right, I started out as an online magazine, the Little Egypt Gazette, and that blossomed to like 40 pages a month, so for a little over 2 years, I was driving myself crazy,
my wife
crazy, and
yeah,
so forth, trying to compete with Genie and Magic for free,
yeah,
with lots of help, actually, from Stan and Richard.
Yeah, yeah. And so what you're doing then now with the blog is essentially just kind of a diary or a journal kind of a things that you write each month, and so you do publish it on a regular basis.
Yeah, I publish it monthly. I haven't... It's been monthly since 1995,
mm-hmm,
so yeah, very regular.
And the reason it's called the Little Egypt Gazette, you want to talk about Little Egypt?
I'm from Cairo, Illinois, which is the southern tip of Illinois, and that area is called Little Egypt, partly because of the rivers and the cities that were named after Egyptian cities there.
Karnak.
Karnak, Thebes, further down this, the road, Memphis.
Right.
So we're Little Egypt.
And my hometown of Salem, Illinois, is called the Gateway to Little Egypt.
Ah.
Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, of course, it's the birthplace of William Jennings Bryan and Scott R. Wells, and also called the Gateway to Little Egypt.
That's cool.
Where it all begins, because that's where it really starts to be kind of the hill country and more of the area. There's a lot of hills and trees, and as opposed to, it's still an agrarian society, you know, down that way, so... anyhow, anything new? What's coming up next month? Or what are you talking about? You're going to be blogging about the convention, I guess?
I will blog about the convention, but the newest thing for me, I'll let this be the first public announcement. On November 18th, I have a middle grade novel coming out called Lucas Mackenzie and the London Midnight Ghost Show, and I hope magicians will enjoy it as well as kids.
And where can they buy that? Through Amazon? Or?
They'll be through Amazon. It's published by Month 9 Books, which specializes in spooky fiction for teens.
Yeah. kind of like, what's that called, spine benders, or what's that guy's name? I know there are other kinds of special spine tinglers for, or spooky tales for teens.
Oh, I suddenly heard music.
Yeah, my phone over here.
Okay. Right, there's a lot of those.
Well, you know, John Gaspard had written some books. He's got a series of books. Eli Marks, who's a magician and kind of a detective then also. Is this going to be a series that you're considering?
No, it's not a series. My contract was for two books. I have a second book, which the publisher, my agent has seen, but the publisher hasn't seen yet. Mm-hmm. And I hope they like it, because I like it even better than the first book. But this one is about ghost shows and a traveling ghost show troupe.
Okay. Kind of like Silkini, I guess, kind of traveling ghost shows, like through theaters.
Right, like Francisco, Silkini, yeah. Bill Neff, all the guys. And
is it kind of fictional or non-fictional?
It's definitely fictional, but the information about all the other ghost shows is real.
Yeah.
It takes place in 1959, and so it's very accurate as far as the ghost show history, so you would learn a lot from reading the book.
And the title again?
Lucas McKenzie and the London Midnight Ghost Show.
And that's going to be available through Amazon, available in November.
Yes.
We'll have a link to that. Then great. Thanks very much. That was Steve Bryan for the Magic Word Podcast. Scotty out. So, Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and I'm here now with International President, Mr. Dal Sanders. Hey, Dal.
Hey, how you doing, Scott?
I'm doing great. You have done a wonderful job this last year's president. Let me congratulate you.
Well, thank you. We've had a great time. It's been a lot of fun, time to move on.
What's one of the most exciting things you've done or traveled to or seen or been or done this year?
Oh, there's been so many great things I got to see, but I think probably the thing that's probably going to be the best thing that we're remembered about most is the work we got done with the United States Congress for the getting the congressional record done. This is a major step for magicians. It's not just the SAM or the IBM, but all magicians in America are going to be able to apply for grants and not get turned down because magic is just a hobby.
Yeah, I was just talking with someone earlier about this. We had a long conversation. I took a picture of this, so it's going to be on the blog, and so people can see this as well. And we read this, so that way it's read into the blog, so people who don't are listening through iTunes, you know, can at least understand what it's about. Was this a long process, or how did you come about in doing it?
Well, actually, it started when I was an RVP, and they said we need to get proclamations from the various cities saying that magic was an art, and I said, why? And they said, so we can, you know, have some people believe that we're an art so we can start getting grants. And I said, I asked at the time, I said, don't we know anybody in politics? And everybody in the National Council kind of looked at me like I'd grown another head or something, like, no. And I said, well,
I know George Bush.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, you know, in Texas, we know politics.
Exactly.
And so, but one of my oldest and dearest friends is a mayor. And I went to him and asked him about the steps, and he said, don't worry, I've got this. He kind of smiled and said, don't worry, I've got this.
good.
And Mayor Eric Hoag of Wiley, Texas, and he's also an SAM member. And it took a while because, you know, there was no real mindset.
Right.
They were treated us at first as if this was kind of a trivial pursuit.
Sure.
And they wanted to do serious work.
And you had to craft the language, I guess, for them?
We had to craft the language. And then we almost got it done when Chris Bonches was president.
Yeah.
And which would have been great because his dad actually started pushing it through.
Gary Bonches?
Yes, yeah. Gary. When he was president, started pushing it through. And then they had the government shutdown and everything got pushed back. And on April 7th, Eric called me and said, so what are you doing tomorrow? And I said, I don't know. I have to check my calendar. He says, I've already checked it. You're free. We're going to meet with Pete Sessions tomorrow. And I said, okay.
Congressman Sessions, okay.
Congressman Sessions, yes. And on April 28th, we had the documents in hand. And now we get ready for the real work. Actually, all this is being crafted after the way Congress recognized jazz as an art in 96.
Right.
And so the next step is to get a joint resolution of both houses saying, once again, that we're an art, and to also give us a few other things like maybe even protecting our intellectual property.
That could go a long way. That's fantastic.
Yes. So that's the next step, and the next step will involve getting IBM and the AMA and all the other groups working together towards a single goal of making sure that magic is recognized. Well, we're recognized as an art now, but it's the
so
next
that way that people will be able then to get grants and they can get scholarships to
grants,
study magic in
scholarships
college.
To study magic and also protect our secrets.
Right. Fantastic. You've done a great job. I know one of the things you did recently was getting to ride around in the stadium, was it, for the Texas Rangers? That kind of fun?
You know, I'm a huge baseball fan.
I do know that.
And, this was great fun. As president, they wanted to recognize the president of the Society of American Magicians and Texas Ranger fan, season ticket holder. So I got to ride around, and my friends that were there, and we had, probably... 6 or 7 members of the Dallas Magic Club out there in the stands.
Yeah,
they were more impressed that the horse was driving the cart than yeah, you were on the thing, but did you see the horse was driving the cart?
Now, how many countries did you get to travel this past year? Do you remember?
Just this past year, I was only in the United States and England.
Okay.
But as I went through the chairs, I visited China and Portugal and Brazil and did an extensive tour in Mexico, thanks to you. Mm-hmm. Visited several clubs down there. And going through the chairs took me through a lot of places.
That's fantastic. So now you're ready to turn over to Ice McDonald, who'll be the new incoming president.
That's right. That's right. It's
you've done a great job. Thank you very much. I appreciate it, Dal.
Thanks.
That was Dal Sanders, the international president for the Society of American Magicians. Thank you, Dal.
Thank you.
For the Magic Word Podcast, Scotty out. Scott Wells, the Magic Word Podcast, and I got Carl Hine here. Hey, Carl.
Hey, what's up?
And we are at the first evening get-together, and I just want to congratulate you and ring on Pete Holmes. You did just an awesome job. You killed it, man.
Ah, thanks. It was a lot of fun. It was a blast to do and a great experience. So.
Now, he saw you at the Magic Castle, I understand.
Yeah, at the Magic Castle.
Because people say, well, how do you get on TV? Well, you just be in the right place at the right time.
It was just total fluke. It was I wasn't even supposed to be in L.A. that week. It was the last minute gig I booked. And...
Now, are you working at the bar, WC Fields Bar?
No, just hanging out.
Oh, you were just hanging out? You weren't even performing.
Not even performing, just hanging out with some magicians, Justin Willman and Kyle Morlett. And next thing you know, I'm doing magic and blowing all the magicians away. And
yeah, of course you do.
Yeah, and then, I just met Pete. We got along really well. And
now, how'd you meet Pete Holmes? Just kind of showed up? Or what
he was there with Justin Willman.
Oh, he's a friend of his. Yeah, he was hanging out and introduced you.
Yeah.
And he started doing something. He said, oh, I'll do something else. And he said, you got to be on the show, or what happened next?
Yeah, so he called me up, and then he was like, I came into the show.
Because you just happened to be in town.
Yeah.
It
was great. I mean, I said some great stuff, but he's such a great host that he really made it such a great rapport,
And
I felt comfortable doing stuff I wouldn't have done with other people, so it was a really great experience overall.
It looked like you had nice chemistry together, the two of you were just kind of like you and me chatting,
That's exactly right. So.
And so, it looked like a small audience also. I mean, it's not like
Jay Leno. Actually, it's a pretty good-sized audience. It's pretty good-sized in there, yeah. I mean, it was a fun audience, too. They were really reactive and really great, so.
Yeah.
But, of course, it's not as big as, the big guys, but he was, it was really well done. Everything was really professional.
Yeah.
It was great.
I thought you did just a great job. So what was the result of that? Did people call you, write you, and say, hey,
a bunch of stuff, of course. Yeah.
Did you get some shows out of it?
A couple shows, too, so you never know. Huh?
That is awesome. Yeah. That's the best thing. So, when you're seeing it on network, national television show like that, so it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So what's in your future right now? What are you going to do?
I'm here, and then I head to Europe for a couple weeks.
Yep.
And then
a lecture?
Lecture tour and fun.
Yeah.
And then I have a UK tour I'm doing, a bunch of other little random things here and there. So then, of course, private and corporate gigs.
Yep.
So.
Awesome.
Always staying busy.
Good. Carl, thanks very much. That's Carl Hine for the Magic Word Podcast. Scotty out. All right, Scott Wells from the Magic Word Podcast. I got John Sterk with me. Hey, John.
Hi, Scotty. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you much. Thank you for calling me Scotty. I feel like we're close friends. People who are good friends call me Scotty.
Well, I've known you for long enough.
Long enough. That's exactly right. Now, you said that your duties are over. You kind of help the Magic Inc. carry in some stuff, and so you're doing
right. Well, my day job at Fun Incorporated, America's largest magic manufacturer, funink.com. And we also have another venture, Invisible Threads T-shirts.
You're working with Invisible Threads. Okay.
We are. Invisible Threads, and they are us.
So you bought them out, or I remember because a while back...
Nope, it's the same owner.
With Fun Inc.
Same owner with Andrew Michaels.
Did not know that.
He owns both companies.
They got some awesome shirts and some great grills.
And yeah. They are available here in the dealer's room.
Are they like $20 a piece or something, or what do they run?
They run between $20 and $30.
$20 and $30,
yeah.
Okay. They're very clever. I think they've got some nice designs. And you can find them online at what?
InvisibleThreadsClothing.com.
That's it. Okay. And so I was going to ask you about coming up, not only for this convention, but going to Abbott's. I guess you're going to be...
I'll be at Abbott's again this year. It'll be my 10th or 11th year straight, I think.
And you going to work in the street?
I will be out working the street for sure, doing the old Cups and Balls act. So.
Now, I know that you're working at Fun Inc., but I understand that Magic Inc. is going to be having a convention coming up sometime.
Yes, yeah. So for us Chicago people, we don't really have a regular Magic convention.
Right.
In fact, we don't have one.
Which is surprising, being the second city.
Yeah, it is, but there's reasons for it specifically. So this year, in celebration of their 50th anniversary at that location, 5082 North Lincoln Avenue, Magic Inc. will be having a 50th anniversary convention. That'll go for 3 or 4 days in the middle of July.
Okay. And they got Max Maven and a bunch of different... it's a regular convention with lectures and shows and everything.
Max Maven is one of the names. Axel Hecklau from Germany.
Yeah.
Richard Turner. There's more that I can't think of right now, but...
Well, there's hardly any room, I would think, at Magic Inc. I mean, when you and Tomas are working in the back room...
It won't be at the shop itself.
Oh, okay.
They've rented a venue that can accommodate a bigger crowd.
I wondered about that.
There'll be like one event at the shop itself.
Okay.
But Sandy Marshall, who's here, can tell you all about it.
Yep, I'm going to visit with him later. So what are you working on? What have you been doing? You've been doing some one-man shows? Or?
I've been actually doing another talent of mine, which is playing the piano.
Yes, and you're very good at it.
So I've been playing a lot around Chicago in the improv theaters, and there's a lot of exciting things happening in the improv world in Chicago, and there's some new venues opening, and maybe I can do a little magic there too. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's another podcast that I recommend called The Improv Nerd.
Jimmy Corain. From Chicago. I've met him. Yeah.
You ever work with him or do anything?
I've never worked with him, but I'm sure it's just a matter of time.
Yeah. Okay. Well, great. Thanks very much. That was John Stirk from FunInc.com. There we go. For the Magic Word Podcast, Scotty out. All right, we're still at the reception over here, and I happen to run into a podcast listener, John Graybeal. Hey there, John.
Hi, how's it going?
Going very well. Thank you, first of all, very much for listening. And I understand you said that because of the podcast, you've been listening for a while. And?
Yes. I started listening last year when you were at the Magic Castle.
Yeah.
And Magic has been part of my life for a long time, but I hadn't introduced my children yet to it. Because of the convention last year when you talked about the movie Believe.
Yes.
Make-Believe.
Make-Believe, that's correct. Right? Yep.
About the kids competition, my 7 and 9-year-old boy, or my 7-year-old daughter and 9-year-old boy started competing last year at magic competitions.
Right.
And that was the whole genesis. I didn't even know there was magic competitions. I guess I was living in a far-off planet. I didn't realize that there were.
Yeah, such a thing.
Yes. And so my daughter has had great success winning the third place in Magic Jubilee last year at 6 years old. And she does public speaking pageants where she does magic competitions for her talent and has won every single pageant in talent because of magic. So it's been a magical journey, if you will.
And you've been taking her all these different conventions around and
not magic,
even training her?
Not magic conventions, per se, but the pageants that we go to, the little girl public speaking pageants that she attends.
Is that like a junior Toastmasters kind of a thing then? Or?
Well, it's not like toddlers and tiaras. They don't wear makeup. They don't do that thing. So it's based on how they present themselves, a little public speaking that they introduce themselves, and then how they carry themselves in the pageant.
Sure. Okay.
Okay. And so my son and daughter are constantly working on their stage act. They just completed the Lance Burton Young Magician Seminar.
Now tell me about that, by the way.
Well, this was the first year where they brought it all the way down to seven-year-olds. Before, it was just teenagers. This year...
This is the only card I have. I should have more than that.
Great.
No, Dad, I should have more than this.
Here. That was a little winner right there. Your son.
So this year was the first year that they brought 7 through 12-year-olds into the Lance Burton Young Magician Seminar, and which was fantastic. It started last night. All the facilitators did a presentation of magic, and the kids were just overwhelmed. I think that my kids don't know who Lance Burton really is.
Of course.
Or one of my teachers, Eugene Berger. They don't know that, but they've heard me talk about him, and of course Jeff McBride. But to see them and then to get one-on-one experience with them was just unbelievable. And I was a little concerned about what kind of... They broke the kids into three sections. The first group was 7 through 12-year-olds, and they did have very age-specific presentations and magic.
How many people attended this youth?
There were, in that group, there were 12. So I don't know if there were 36 complete, 36, but it was limited. I know that they ran out of space. So I was very fortunate enough to get my kids in. It was a magical experience for them, which ended up upstairs in the penthouse in Lance Burton Suite having a pizza party with all these kids.
Was Lance here?
Oh, yes. He was here all day long. He was here last night and all day long. And I walk in to pick my kids up, and there's Lance Burton talking to my son about how to do coin slides. I mean, you can't beat that.
How much better does that get?
Oh, it doesn't get any better.
You know, a lot of people don't attend conventions because they say, well, I can do this online. You know, I can talk to people online or through the forum or watch YouTube videos. But there's nothing like coming to a convention like this where you get to physically interact with people and shake hands and experience something on a one-on-one basis. Nothing like it.
Not at all. This is probably the greatest thing that I've ever done for my kids in magic. My son was absolutely mesmerized. I don't think a card deck has been out of his hands in the last 48 hours.
Yeah.
I mean, preparing to come here and then coming here, and it was wonderful.
And he's looking forward to the rest of the convention and all the rest of it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is just the beginning, but they got such a special event to kick them off. I think that they'll enjoy much more of the convention because of what happened in the past, yesterday and today.
Right. So it was a two-day event, both Sunday and Monday, is that right?
Yes, it started last night at 7 o'clock, and it went till 10 o'clock. We didn't quite make it till 10 o'clock because my kids are so young. And then today it started at 8:30, and they went until 7:30 tonight, nonstop.
Wow. That's fantastic. Well, I wanted to talk with John because he is in our Hall of Fame. You are one of the friends of the Magic Word who has donated, and I want to thank you very much for your support financially and for listening. And so I just wanted to encourage other people to be sure to listen to the Magic Word as regularly as you can. And if you go to the website, you can go up to the top left. You can see a little Donate Now button. And if you don't, if you listen to this on iTunes, you can always just donate through PayPal at the Magic Word at ScottWells.com. But John, thank you very much for your support.
Thank you, and I appreciate it. I mean, your podcast has been a igniter for my magic that I personally do, and particularly for my kids. Again, I have done magic for a long time. My magic mentor passed away last year. Andy Dallas, who I think you might have spent some time with, has taken over that magic mentor for me. But I didn't know that there were so many opportunities for teaching. Because of you, I have now been taking lessons from Eugene Berger in Chicago since I live in Illinois. I mean, it's open. I relish that the opportunity to do that. And if I can say one more thing, I've been going to the Magic Castle for 20-some years. I had no idea how to perform at the Magic Castle.
Yeah.
And so this year, when I both talked to Andy Dallas and Eugene Berger, I said, before I'm 60, and I have 12 years to go, before I'm 60, I would like to perform at the Magic Castle. Because of your podcast, I didn't know it was possible. I didn't know how it worked.
Yeah.
I didn't know the logistics of it. And so my whole focus that's just a personal thing of mine, since I've been going there for so long.
On your bucket list kind of a thing, I guess.
Exactly. So I want to prepare myself myself, prepare an act, and hopefully earn a spot that I can go there. And again, your podcast has been the genesis for all that. So I thank you, and I want everybody to support what you're doing because it's an amazing thing.
Well, you're welcome, and thank you very much. You know, yeah, if the people are interested in knowing what John was talking about, that last year from the Magic Castle, that I had an interview then with Jack Goldfinger and was talking with him, who is the entertainment director for the Magic Castle, and talking about what it is that you need to do. And so he gives you all the details going back. If you just do a search on themagicwordpodcast.com, just search for Jack Goldfinger or the Magic Castle 2013, you can hear that interview. Thank you, John.
Well, thank you very much.
I appreciate it. That was John Grabiel for the Magic Word Podcast. Scotty out. All right, Scott Wells for the Magic Word Podcast, and we're in the dealer's room with Oscar Munoz. Hey there, Oscar.
Hey, how you doing, Scott?
It's good
to see you.
And it's good to see you as well. And you are the chairman for the Awards and Trophies Committee?
I'm the chairman for Awards and Trophies, and also I'm running the IBM side of the competition.
Okay, so this is going to be just heavily weighted towards competition throughout the whole convention.
Exactly.
IBM,
SAM, yeah.
Tell me a little bit about how this all differs and how people...
Well, the cool thing about it is if you're an SAM and IBM member, you can win both. So it'd be really cool that you can win the prizes.
Really?
Yes. And SAM has brought up their prize money to meet IBM's money. So
which is how much?
$2,500 for first place. And $2,500 for first place in SAM.
Now, if you get the gold cups or the gold...
That's $5,000. Yeah.
Talking about some cash.
Well, when I won the gold cups, that was
$500. Yeah. So you need to recompete.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
But you can cash in the gold. Of course, the gold was worth less back then, so now it's worth more.
Yeah, well, I scratched the bottom of the cups and
they're not real
chocolate.
Gold.
No, they were chocolate behind. My mom was so happy that I won the gold cup. She had them bronzed. They're sitting right next to the tennis. You know.
Next to tennis, yeah. When you were a little kid.
Yeah, a little kid, yeah.
Exactly. So how many competitors do we have at the IBM this year? Close up and stage and all that.
We're looking at maybe, I want to say, 8 per day, so that's 3 days of stage, and 13 in close-up.
It's 10 per stage.
10 per stage. I'm sorry, that's my daughter. She keeps me where I'm at. That's Mariah.
Hi, Mariah.
Mariah?
So, we have how many then again? There's going to be...
Well, there's going to be 10 per stage, 3 days, so that's
30. Yep, I can do the math there.
Stage, and 13 per close-up.
Like they remember
13 a day for close-up.
No, 13. Yeah, 13.
Is that both senior and junior?
There's no junior.
Okay.
It's all senior.
Now, same with stage. There's no senior, junior. It's all just one.
Right.
Okay, got it. Now, what is the limitation as far as time for those?
10 minutes.
Okay.
There's a couple of rules that are being in place. For instance, if you're using confetti or dropping stuff on stage, you must have a drop cloth.
Okay. And no fire.
No fire. If you have a drop cloth, if you don't have a drop cloth, you make a mess on stage, you get eliminated off the bat.
Okay. And I understand that Christian Painter and Catalina were going to be competing, and we were just talking earlier over cigars and beer a while ago about mentalism.
Right.
And so it'd be kind of difficult, I would think, you know, for a talking act. You know, and I know that FISM has a category for mentalism.
Yes.
So when people are competing, they choose to compete for FISM, for SAM, or IBM, or all. How does that
work?
Well,
they're for all. So the judges for IBM...
So 13 will be included in FISM, being judged by all the judges at one time.
Everybody, yes.
No
matter one time. FISM is going to judge the prelims. And then IBM and SAM are going to judge the finals.
You know, the hardest thing is going...
Okay.
So FISM is sending us there who they think should go to the finals.
So they are going to be there all 3 days?
No, just the first day.
Okay.
So the FISM judges will judge the first round. And then we judge the final.
And there'll be how many down in the final?
On my understanding, there's 6 finals.
Of stage and close-up?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's going to be all acts are wonderful. All acts are top-notch acts.
Yeah, these are full-time professional guys.
Right. And they were prejudged to be
in the competition.
Now, prejudge, do they send videos?
Okay. Yeah, they send the videos, and there was a panel of other magicians and other people that said yes or no or maybe, and then it was a final determination of they were going to come and compete.
Now, how did this change this year? Because this is going to be the North American Championships, and in previous years they had like Koreans who won.
Right. No. Only if you get a FISM qualification, only if you're North American.
So if you're in Canada or Mexico or U.S.
Yeah, North American, then you could possibly get up.
You can't even enter. Can you compete?
You can compete,
but you just can't. You won't win.
You can't.
It could
win
be a great act,
spot.
But
yeah, you won't. Yeah, you have to be North American.
Now in FISM, I know that they have different spots in which I should say there may not be a first prize given. There may only be a second or third. Is that possible? That FISM judges here may say they were good but not good enough.
Right, that's possible. But they can win IBM or SAM. Or it could be the other way around too.
Yes,
They may not be able to win a spot in the final round, but they could win a spot in FISM.
For the gold cups and the gold medal for stage or close up on stage, that those have not always been awarded every year.
Right. Yeah, they haven't for the last 4 years. They have not been awarded.
And that's just a special group
of
judges.
Yeah, that is a special group of judges that judge the final round.
You know. And that has nothing to do necessarily then with the people's choice or anything. Is that?
Right.
I mean, other one are going to be people's choice this year?
There will be a people's choice this year.
Okay.
So that will be the final round.
And what happens if people say they get money? They get contracts. Or what?
Yeah, they get contracts. They got money. It really depends on
for the people's choice.
Right.
Writers.
Yeah. So they get different contracts from different parts of the world to come and compete, or come in and do their act.
Now, you say there are no juniors necessarily, but are there some who are young people who are competing?
No, they're all seniors. There's no juniors per se.
You think that was discouraging to juniors because you didn't have a cutoff?
I don't know. I really don't know. That's just.
So is that intentional?
Had.
I mean, that.
I think so. I think that was just the way they wanted to play it because of FISM.
I don't think FISM has juniors. I don't think they differentiate between juniors and seniors either.
Right.
So.
Yeah, so, yeah. That's like what they did. They wanted to go for FISM, and FISM made the determination that there will be no jobs.
Now, does the SAM have a similar award to our, I'm talking about the IBM gold medal and the gold cups?
I don't know. I know that they have first and second place. When I competed, I won first place.
Is Paul Pertelli still in charge?
No. Vinny Grasso is in charge.
Vinny is, okay.
Yeah, Vinny Grasso is in charge of this competition. When I won the first place in SAM, they got the trophy, but I didn't get the gold medal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I guess, the equivalent to the gold cups, IBM.
Yeah. And you say that it's been about 4 years since the last...
last award.
Who was that? You remember?
A little more than that, I think. A little bit more than that, because the last one's Chase Curtis.
Gold cups. That was a long time ago, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
A little bit more than that. Chase Curtis was the last one who won the gold cups.
Yep. And this is your second, third, fourth year of...
This will be my third year. Of
and working with your lovely wife, Melody.
Yes.
Hello, Melody.
My other wife.
Yes, hello.
Yeah. And I know on Facebook, by the way, that you have reported about how Melody's had surgery over there. I just want to report because people might be...
Yes.
I know people are praying for you, and we want to know how you're doing.
Continue the prayers. I really appreciate it. I'm getting better every day.
You want to kind of... Can you briefly tell about...
Yeah, I just had a kidney stone the size of Gibraltar.
Oh, my. That's a big one.
And they did lithotripsy on me, and I had some problems with it afterwards, and so we're just trying to...
And so you're up in ambulatory, and you're looking...
Oh,
fine.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I've heard that before, but thank you.
Well, good.
Doing well. Trying to get ready for this contest. We're excited about it. So.
Yep.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a very strong competition. It's going to be really good acts. So I wish a lot more people would come out and watch them. I mean, we do have a full house. But it would be really nice to have more
people. If you're within striking distance of St. Louis, you should come over because I think they still got some room if you want to register. They certainly have day passes as well to be able to come and see the contest and the shows.
So, and not forget that next year you will be on the committee for the Jacksonville in Florida. So that's going
to
be good.
Looking forward to that then, too.
Yeah.
That's going to be great. Well, thank you very much, Oscar.
Thank you.
Thank you, Melody. We'll talk to you guys later.
All righty.
For the Magic Word Podcast, this is Scotty out.
For more content, including pictures of those I spoke with in this podcast, commentary, links, timestamps, show notes, and more, be sure to visit the webpage at themagicwordpodcast.com. And you can help spread the word by liking the Magic Word Podcast on Facebook and sharing with your friends. Thanks for your support, and thanks for listening. Till next time, Scotty out.